Ger, you're very welcome to the studio.
Good evening, Monica. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Ger. So, Ger, just in terms of getting started in business, I know you're in business a long time yourself and you have lots of experience in this area. What sort of options are there for somebody who's out there who's thinking about starting up a business? I suppose those some of those statistics I mentioned were primarily in the services business and construction sector. They were the two areas of most growth. So what options around structuring a business do people have when they maybe think about starting up on their own?
Okay, Monica. The most simple structure would be to be as a sole trader, and as the name implies, it's a person on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Registration is quite simple. It's just done online now with Revenue. Fill up a page, send it in, register. Or if you get an agent like ourselves,
mm-hmm.
you appoint us and we do it for you. The next step up would be a partnership where maybe two or three or four people want to come together to form a partnership. Again, it's just one set of accounts for the partnership, but then the profit is split out in proportion to the partnership share.
I see.
And the third and more complicated one would be a limited company.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the circumstances, a company might be the way to go straight away. For example, again, if there are a number of people coming together, the company structure gives them a better platform on which to work. It might be for tax reasons. If the company is very, or the business is very profitable, it might be just as well to go straight into a limited company where the tax rate is only 12.5% as opposed to 20% and 40% plus PRSI and USC for individuals. It might be because of limited liability. Maybe the business that you're in is of some sort of risk, maybe construction, whether the work at heights or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, we might advise people to go into a limited company. So, God forbid, something did happen to the business, at least the liabilities of the businesses.
Okay, so is that
the company.
Is that the main difference, Ger, between the sole trader and the limited company? Is that the company, that the person is removed from the threat of...
That is one big advantage of limited liability, yes.
Okay, yeah, so then if the company fails, the person's personal assets are not
exposed,
threatened.
Provided the person themselves haven't been reckless in anything they did themselves.
Okay.
But assuming you're running your business on a proper basis, it's the company that's liable, not the individual or the individuals that are more than one involved.
And you just mentioned their partnerships and partnership agreements. I suppose in my own experience of working with businesses, sometimes you can hear about partnerships that don't go to plan. And is there such a thing as a prenup for partnerships, if you like, where if there's a disagreement about how the business should be executed or how customers should be treated or whether they would invest in this or that or not, how do you protect people against disagreements?
A partnership agreement in the case of a partnership or a shareholders agreement in the case of a company is very advisable at the outset. Hopefully you'll never have to reach for the agreement because there's trouble brewing. But if you can design a partnership agreement or a shareholders agreement properly at the very start, it will preempt any difficulties down the road. So decisions will have to be made as to how to deal with X, Y and Z in advance of that happening. And it's done in a calm and cool way as opposed to being in the heat of battle and trying to sort it out afterwards. So, for example, a simple one in a shareholder's agreement would be that maybe one shareholder wants to sell his shares.
Right.
So the shareholder agreement might state that they have to sell it to the other shareholders or offer it to the other shareholders first.
I see.
So things like that mm-hmm. they're all agreed in advance, and it's good for one or the other. It's good for the goose, it's good for the gander.
Yeah.
And it's as I say, done calmly and coolly at the outset.
Yeah.
And hopefully they never need to refer to it because then you're trouble. Yeah.
Like the prenup. Hopefully you're never going to need it, but no harm to have it.
Yeah.
And come here, so assuming you have your business set up now, either as sole traders, as a partnership agreement or the limited company, when we look at finance and funding a company, one of the things I see on your website that you help people with is grant applications. And I know that these can be quite cumbersome and can frighten people who wouldn't be used to the cut and thrust of business forms. Some people who kind of just maybe want to open a coffee shop or mechanic or dressmaking that wouldn't necessarily require lots of forms in the day to day. So tell me about the grant applications and what do you see as being available for people in that space?
Right. I suppose the first thing to say about grants is that the granting authority will not give a grant to a business that is competing directly with other businesses in the area.
Okay.
Obviously, there's no point in, for example, granting one public house to reduce their prices so that the other public house is put out of business. Nothing's being achieved by that. So you need to have something possibly unique, and then apply to the appropriate grant authority. For example, in the area here, we have CCAD, which say maybe new businesses, tourism, agri-business type situations could apply to those. Moving up a scale, you'd go to the LEOs, which are the County Council. It used to be the South Cork Enterprise Board. It's now under the auspices of the County Council. And then if you go up the line beyond that, you're probably looking at Enterprise Ireland. So the bigger your business, you'd be targeting the different grant agencies. Mm-hmm. The paperwork can be daunting. And as well as that, you're not going to get all your money by way of grant. You need to be putting some money up yourselves. Ideally, if in the ideal world, you'd have a third grant aid, a third finance from the promoters, and a third bank funding. It's not always possible to get that, but that would be a very good mix. Mm-hmm. And obviously the granting authority and the banks need to know that the promoters are putting some skin in, as they call it, skin in the game themselves, to make sure they get up in the morning, because their own money is at risk. But yes, it's possible, depending on, as I say, the type of business you're in and whether it's qualifying for the purposes of the grant authority.
So the message would be to just investigate, see what's there, and reach out to someone like yourselves who can help you navigate the
exactly. The and in some cases, it might be totally from left field. For example, we've come across a case recently where Bord Iscavora, because their fisheries obviously are funding maybe projects that have nothing at all to do with fisheries, but because they're in a seaport, mm-hmm. it comes up within their remit. So you mightn't even think of that at the time, but one particular client we were talking to has actually sourced that himself, that there may be funding from Bord Iscavora, even though the business has nothing to do with fishing.
I see.
Yeah. Okay. So depending, as I say, there may be grants out there for businesses, yeah.
And what have you seen, Ger, in terms of the biggest pitfalls for companies? Like, what kind of trouble have you had to get them out of? Like, is it cash flow you see as being a big problem, or something that people need to be aware of before they ever go into business? Some of these kind of red flags that you've seen in your, 28 odd years experience.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there any?
Unfortunately, the failure rate in startups is quite high. I don't have the exact figure, but it's could be well over half. Mm-hmm. In some cases, it's just the economic nature of things. For example, anybody setting out in business in 2008, 2009, 2010, they were sailing into a very strong headwind at that time, as we all noticed, and we were in deep recession. So despite their best efforts, things might just have gone wrong. In the normal, typical situation, the problem that we'd come across most is that people haven't prepared enough. We would strongly suggest that people do a business plan. That makes them think about the business, think about their competition, think about their markets, think about their products, how they get to market, mm-hmm. And ultimately to get to a situation where we can get all that reflected in a set of financial projections. That's where we would come in. So you tell us how many staff you're going to take on, so we cast that into the figures, and so on and so forth. And ultimately get to what you just mentioned, is the cash flow requirements of the business, because when the business fails, it's because probably it's run out of cash. And cash is the lifeblood of any business. So if you can think and study your business at the outset, and ultimately get to a cash flow situation, and then even having got to your draft, sensitize that by say, let's say I'm too strong by 20%, what does that do to my cash flow? If I'm wrong by 50%, what does that do to my cash flow?
Okay, so you kind of bounce it around a bit to
yes,
see.
Yes, and then you can maybe build a buffer into your plans, so that if something does go wrong, that at least you have another bit of space to work with. Mm-hmm. But it's generally cash flow difficulty that will bring businesses down in the end.
And do most people have a business plan that who come to you, or would you?
Not in all cases, no.
No.
People would have come, they'd have got an idea. Some of them have, there are different risks of a business, what we call it. The business risk is what business are you going into, what's the competition like and all that. But some businesses would have what we call big financial risk, where they have to put in a lot of money at the start. It could be equipment, technology or whatever. And if that business goes, then there's a big financial loss. Whereas in the other businesses, if it's just maybe sailing out of your car or whatever, at least if the business goes, you might just have lost money in a bit of stock or something like that.
Okay.
So the financial risk mightn't be huge. So if people would come, and I'm not saying directly to us, but to any accountant, these ideas would be teased out with them.
Right.
And maybe they could go away and think about it a little bit more, and ultimately get to a stage where there's a good business plan prepared.
And I suppose that brings me kind of to the next point, is you're a numbers man, obviously, and spreadsheets and the numbers don't lie. How important is the person? Like, have you seen somebody who on numbers it wouldn't work you know, it didn't look like a prospect, and then maybe have they've gone ahead and succeeded? Or do you take that into consideration at all when advising people?
It's always the unknown. And even if you talk to bankers, they'll say they're investing in the person, not the business. They need to know what the person is like. You need a person with drive and ambition and vision.
Mm.
It's not always visible from the very start. We've often spoken to clients that came to us and said, are you really sure this is going to go? And we, having run figures, say, maybe this is a long shot, but they've succeeded because of drive and ambition, as I said, and vision.
Yeah.
And personality, all of those things come into play.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a big part of it, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So just tell us, I suppose, just before we let you go, Ger, what do you offer? Just kind of give us a bit of a plug there, if you like.
Okay. As you mentioned, we're in business since 1990, initially in North Main Street, now in Tallis Street. At the moment, I have nine staff, including myself, four qualified accountants and support staff after that, accounting technicians and administration staff. We're a general accountancy practice, so we deal with everything from farmers, publicans, doctors, dentists, you name it, solicitors, we do business for them. We're like your GP in the medical field. We can possibly identify a problem, but if it's very technical, then we go on to say, tax advisors or VAT advisors or whatever, if it's very complex. So we have a very broad knowledge of most industries, but if it gets specialised or whatever, we'd refer into the bigger practices or specialists in a particular area. But we'd have a very good knowledge of all industry, probably, because we, as I say, we do business with most of the local businesses around.
Brilliant. Yeah, okay, yeah. So yeah, I'd say you cover all aspects of business planning, grant applications, bookkeeping, and indeed PAYE, payroll, and all of that.
Yes,
so
yeah.
You kind of have something for each stage of a business, from planning it to growing it, investing, paying people as the business grows. You can kind of help them at each stage. Yeah. Okay, well, fantastic. And thank you, Ger, for coming into us
this evening. Thank you for having me.
Okay. And best of luck in your business in the future.
Thank you very much.